Studio 360.
Today, we are taking a close look at some of this year's Academy Award nominees.
Here are the nominees for Achievement in Costume Design. Black Panther.
Tell me something. What do you know about Wakanda?
It's actually like having a coloring book and someone giving you the crayons. You have to decide where you're going to infuse what.
Ruth Carter's job is building movie worlds and characters with fabric, jewelry, and paint. She just got her third Academy Award nomination for designing costumes totally unlike anything she'd done in her 30 years before this.
Everything about setting up the Black Panther was new. The script, for example, was secret. They sent me, like, somebody pulled some pages out of the Black Panther comic book, and I was like, is this what I have to prepare for this? And I understood the story of the Black Panther and the world of Wakanda by reading the pieces that they sent me, but I also had to go on and do my own research. And so I decided that with, you know, it taking place in a fictitious place in Africa, that I could take from all of the elements of Africa and infuse it into the costumes.
Carter has been accurately recreating period costumes for a while. Her costume designs evoked the world of Malcolm X during his 1940s zoot suit phase in Spike Lee's biopic. And in Ava DuVernay's Selma, 1965, Alabama.
We will not wait any longer. Give us the vote.
That's right. No more. After creating those simulations of history, real life, she was hired to help conjure this whole new world for Ryan Coogler's Black Panther. The movie has been massively popular, seen by 75 million people in the United States and even more around the world. And it's a serious contender for the Best Picture Oscar.
The Black Panther has been the protector of Wakanda for generations. Now it is time to show the outside world who we are.
So, Ruth, after doing these totally realistic evocations, what was it like to do this big superhero picture?
I feel like I have been doing superhero movies all along. It's the same thought process. You know, Thurgood Marshall is a superhero. So there really is no difference in terms of the thought pattern. But I get what you're asking me. You know, this is a guy who could have exceptional powers, who wears a skin suit, a cat suit, and he is the king of a fictitious country.
Right.
So how do you prepare for that? And, you know, I feel like it's the same. It's the same. You do a lot of research. The team at Marvel were already well into what they call visual development. So they had images that they showed me my first day of, you know, the new Panther suit and of the, you know, Dora Milaje.
The Dora Milaje being elite
the
female
fighting force,
warriors.
The elite female that, they protect the king. You know, they protect the Black Panther, who is the king.
So that sounds like in this instance, there was probably more work that had been done on your job before you arrived than probably you'd ever encounter.
Yeah. You know, there is a brand that they want to kind of talk about and develop, you know, and it's no offense to the costume designer because there was a world of characters that I had to design in a very short period of time. So somebody giving me a leg up on what they were looking for was, you know, a gift.
Yeah.
It was a gift.
For period pictures, of which you've done many, Malcolm X, Selma, The Butler, others, like how long does that research period last? Is it a couple of weeks, a month? typically?
It depends on how much time you have. On Malcolm X, Spike Lee contacted me months before I was on the actual film. And I wrote the Department of Corrections in Boston because he was incarcerated in Boston in his early years. And so I wanted to look at his file. I wanted to read his letters. That was months ahead. They granted me permission and they sat me down in a cubicle and I read his letters and I looked at his booking photos and all of the details that they write down about the person. And I was able to Xerox a lot of pieces and then, you know, come back to New York once we got started with this background for that part of his life. So I had maybe 14 weeks of prep on Malcolm X. I'm always researching. On Amistad, I brought a library to the wardrobe truck and I had books because we were dealing with a period that was so long ago. There weren't even photographs to look at. I had to look at a lot of art books and art history and understand like the artist's direction and the composition because we're painting a picture too. And I really wanted some of these images that I see in the research to come to life. On Selma, I had pictures of the march across the Edmund Pettus Bridge.
The president doesn't want us to march today. The courts don't want us to march. But we must march. Yeah. We must stand up. Yeah. We must make a massive demonstration of our moral certainty.
And I really wanted to make sure that those first 20 people who were in the front of the line really looked like the first 20 people in the actual march. So if someone had a cap on and I was racing in there to make sure that cap was pitched right or there were enough, you know, trench coats or whatever it was. And so that research process and that implementation happens constantly throughout the shooting process.
So the Black Panther, not a real person, not a real place, not a real time, all entirely fictional. So there's not references in the way there are here about Selma or the Harlem Renaissance or any of the rest.
I needed to make him a part of the real world.
Uh-huh.
And I needed to connect to Africa in a way that people could see that he was a part of that continent.
Of the real Africa on some level.
Of the real Africa.
Yeah.
And that they paid homage to the ancient African traditions that are disappearing and that they knew from which they came. So you had I looked at the stick fighters, the Surma stick fighters, and how the men, you know, draped the cloth around their bodies. And I was inspired by that. I looked at the Tuareg people and how they used the beautiful purples and gold and silver. And, you know, and I looked at the Maasai warriors and infused that red color onto the Dora Milaje. And I needed something like that. I needed Ryan's direction.
That's Ryan Coogler.
Yeah, Ryan Coogler, our director. You know, I needed him to say the women in the Dora Milaje don't need to be, you know, scantily clad.
These soldiers.
These soldiers need to have protection.
Right.
They need to have arm rings and neck rings that are not only paying homage to ancient tribes, but is also really practical as far as protection as a fighter. I want the women to have this split-toe boot and be in flat boots, not have on heels like we see a lot of superheroes.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to do that. We can do something different. We can be unique and we can actually be more realistic and it'll still be appealing.
Yeah. You mentioned the Dora Milaje, the soldiers, one of whom is played by Lupita Nyong'o. So talk about her costume from like top to bottom and the various inspirations for each bit of it.
Lupita's Dora costume was the conception of Ryan Meiderding's team at Marvel. So what I have interpreted from their initial concept was the Dora Milaje wear a battle harness. So the harness I connected by the leather strapping that you see going around her shoulders and V-ing down her front, that's connected to a tabard in the front and also connects to a skirt in the back. So because there is this long vertical tabard down the center front, I felt like if you're going to have a placard in the front of your body, it needs to have some kind of meaning. It mm-hmm. needs to have some type of purpose. So I used the intricate beading that you see in ancient African tribal ceremonies, which for the Maasai is this gorgeous red beading where they also paint their heads, they paint their bodies in this gorgeous red. So I upped the color, I intensified the red, and then I added the beading to this tabard so that it would have some meaning, that they could hand this portion of their costume down to their daughter or their granddaughter who proved to be worthy of protecting the king. The drape in the back I made up in leather because of the Himba tribe. The Himba tribe wear these leather drapes that have these rings on them and studs on them made out of metal, so that when they move, you hear this jingling,
right.
And it's a very light sound, but you can hear it. And when all the girls are dressed and they're coming to set, you actually hear them approaching.
It's magnificent, and it should go in a museum. It should go to the Metropolitan Museum.
Thank you.
It didn't take very long at all for Black Panther super fans and cosplayers to make and wear versions of your costumes at
yes.
Comic-Cons.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
I am so, like, it's the best form of honoring, you know, what I have done, because they're already affected by the imagery. And that feels to me like it has filled a big void in the cosplayer world, where you didn't have someone that maybe looked like you that you could really, you know, work on that costume and compete in the competitions that they have and actually feel like, you know, you have done everything, including your own human being self, you know, looks like what they look like.
Right.
And I think it was a void in the cosplayers' world that there weren't enough African-American superheroes in that genre. So I am super honored.
Ruth Carter, thank you very much for explaining to me more than I'd ever known before about movie costume design.
Thank you. It was a great talk, and I appreciate being on.
You can see Ruth Carter's costumes in Black Panther, which is available on DVD and Netflix. And if you want to see some of those designs right now, check out some of her photographs and concept art at studio360.org.